Hi everybody, welcome to another episode of Dev Radio. My name is David Chow. I am an architect at Microsoft, and I have been fortunate to have the opportunities to work with a lot of companies in our region to help them build Windows 8 apps and a lot of times leverage a Windows Azure backend. And today we have Brian Sartorius with us today from Smart Shopping. And we've been working with Smart Shopping for a while, and very fortunate to have him here and to hear his journey about building the app, basically a Windows 8 app and the Windows Phone app, you're leveraging Windows Azure backend all on Microsoft platform. So I want to say hi. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing? Good to be here. Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and your company.
Sure. So I've been working in technology for about 15 years. I've been with large and small companies. I've worked for companies like NASA, Bank of America, down to independent software projects. So Smart Shopping is kind of falls in the latter category. I've been working on it for about 2.5 years, and it's been kind of started out as a really quick app to kind of do the common grocery list type of app that you see out there, but it's morphed into really a bigger platform over the last year and a half or so. And so as user demand has grown and feedback has come in, we've been growing the product. So that's kind of where it's at today.
Very cool. So how did you get the idea of building this app?
Well, it started out as kind of a personal use case where my wife and I, we have two young kids, and it was kind of a way for us to have quick, kind of powerful way to go to the store, take care of our shopping without a lot of hassle, you know, creating paper lists and whatnot. So, you know, having the list sharing and the kind of the smart tools to get you through the store quickly was how it was born. We actually released when the Windows Phone 7 store first came out about 2.5 years ago. So that was the genesis of the app, and the rest is history. I mean, it's been kind of growing. You know, people have really loved the app. You know, people have featured it on blogs and other places. So it's kind of taken off a life of its own, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, thank you so much for the support on the Windows 8 development project as well. I remember we started earlier in 2012, and we were able to get Smart Shopping published in the Windows Store by the time we launched Windows, which is really nice.
That's right. Yeah. See, we're always there for the big launches. So it's always exciting too, you know, to kind of be the first group in the store. It was really exciting to, you know, to see us featured there. And it was, you know, it's been a labor of love. We put a lot of time into, you know, figuring out the right user experience, you know, still a lot that we're working on as well. So yeah, going to the Windows 8 platform was really key for us, because it enabled us to tie the Windows Phone app with the tablet app, allow people to kind of sit at home, do their shopping or planning their trips for the store, and then be able to sync that to the phone, which was a key scenario for us. So that was a big win for the users.
That's great. So what was your experience building the app? Was it easy? How much time did you have to spend? And for example, because you already had a Windows Phone 7 implementation, was there anything you were able to reuse in terms of knowledge or code or anything that made it easier for you?
Yeah, I mean, the dev process is really easy. You know, Visual Studio, as everyone knows, is a really powerful tool set to kind of get to market really quickly, prior to market. So that part was great. Being able to use the design time views and blend is a really big enabler for us to kind of quickly build a kind of beautiful experience for the Windows 8 platform. One of the keys for us too that allowed us to get on the Windows 8 in a short amount of time was the shared code. A majority of the code, we have a portable class library, so we're able to share, you know, data calls, a lot of the presentation logic and sort of the business layer all of that is shareable directly from one project. So it's really super super simple to, you know, to kind of target both platforms and sort of bring Windows 8 into the fold. So that was that part was nice. You know, there's a certain extra amount of work to get it onto the tablet form factor. So there are some iterations there. That was the only real lengthy challenge that we had, but that was, you know, kind of more about getting the experience right and just kind of figuring it out with the design language and how to best fit into the platform.
That's great. So it sounded like it was relatively simple, and you didn't have to spend a lot of time to make the application technically work on Windows 8 when you already had the experience with Windows Phone 7 development. And like I think, like you said, probably a lot of differences actually in the design of the application. That's where you iterated. So we'd love to hear about some of your thoughts on the differences between what you had to think about for the Windows 8 design and then versus the design that you already had for Windows Phone 7. What was different and how did you kind of go about making it work on Windows 8?
Right. Yeah, the design is for Windows 8 is kind of more about showcasing your content, as we kind of talked about some point earlier, you know, which is something that you want to really kind of celebrate. You know, you want to celebrate your the content that you have because there's so much more real estate, potentially a huge amount of real estate if, you know, on the bigger monitors. But for the Windows phone, it tends to be a little bit more about fitting in the features in that constrained resolution and doing as much as you can, making it as simple as you can on the smaller form factor. So I think that's the key difference for us. There's some differences in the sort of the style too, but those are a little bit more minor. Overall, you know, the code-wise controls are pretty transferable between one and the other. But yeah, that's probably the biggest difference we saw, how to kind of rearrange the content, optimize it.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. And it's a very fundamental point to make as well, because I think a lot of people try to approach building native apps on whether the phone or the tablet form factors. They're thinking maybe like, for example, iOS land, where I already have an iOS app and I just bring the same design implementation to my iPad. But Microsoft ecosystem, we're a little bit different. We're treating the phone and the tablet form factor a little bit differently, but there's benefit to that. And I think you pointed out exactly very nicely that there's different focus in terms of the design for the different form factors. And I think what you've done with the Smart Shopping app is a very good example of how to give users access to the same functionality, but giving them a real optimized experience on the different form factors.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that was one of the opportunities we saw too, is to kind of reimagine it a little bit and kind of deliver something unique.
Very cool. So at this point, I'd like to jump into the kind of your work on the Windows Azure side of things, because it's one thing to have the native apps on the phone and also on the tablet, but the Azure is what kind of glues everything together. So I'd love to hear about what you've done with Azure, and perhaps let's go with sort of first. So, why did you choose Azure as your backend service platform? There's a lot of choices out there.
Right. Well, it's kind of interesting. I talked about my work at NASA. I was working on a project called Be a Martian, which is a public outreach set of applications to support the Mars missions that JPL was doing and or does do, and I had the opportunity to work on a project. It was the website version of Be a Martian, and we released on Azure when it was beta, when it was first getting unveiled to the public. And so it was, back then it was just a web page. Azure was just a web page with like two buttons on it, you know, upload to staging, upload to production, and then a, you know, swap between. And it was relatively simple compared to what's there now, of course. But so it was kind of cool to be able to do that. And of course they had the Visual Studio integration even back then. So I got to kind of a chance to really experience the whole platform as a service philosophy. Really loved it, and how seamless. Because I've worked on Amazon Cloud as well, and I think that the full stack integration with all the tools is something that's very, very unique and powerful. So that I've always been a big fan since those days. So that was kind of a no brainer. Just the productivity level is off the charts with the integration if you're in the full pipeline, you know. So
sounds great. Yeah, I remember the Be a Martian project from JPL from NASA. That was a very nice project.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we'd love to hear about your kind of thoughts or description of what you've done with Azure. What kind of briefly describe the architecture and the type of roles and services you're using?
Sure. I have a PowerPoint presentation I put together for showing you kind of just a high level view. I'll go ahead and pull up those slides now. So, yeah, just to kind of give you an idea of sort of the high level architecture and components that we have in place now and that we're building for the next release. Here's a couple quick slides to give you an idea of how it kind of ties together. So here's one of the pages from the upcoming Windows Phone 8 app. This is kind of the detail list view, and we also have a bunch of other new parts of the app that we're actually introducing with the Windows Phone 8 release, which are kind of a little bit work in progress today, but you can kind of get an idea of kind of the updated look of the list, at least from here. And so we have on the right side some of the high level data services that we're running in Azure today. So we have list syncing, you know, product discovery, deal matching through third-party APIs, one of the big ones being Grocery Server, which is one of our key partners to deliver us real-time local grocery specials. So just to break that down, we have the list sharing component. You can share a list between Windows 8, Windows Phone 8, as well as the legacy app, and it's all powered by Azure Mobile Services, which has been very, very helpful because it has so many built-in features that seem to be tailor-made for smart shopping.
So like for that one, I think my wife's gonna love that feature very well, because like she could just tell me go to the supermarket and then she'll just update the shopping list at home while around the day.
I was thinking of buying my wife a Surface tablet just for this purpose, actually, because I mean it's such a common thing for us and it's such a pain point, to have to share those things out, you know, and type in your phone, that you know I'd almost be willing to spend the full price just for that. I mean it's such a headache, you know, without that feature. So in terms of the mobile services piece of this, it, like I said, it connects to Windows Phone 8, Windows 8. We use take advantage of that, you know, server-side scripting, which is sort of the JavaScript syntax that's in place, and it's really handy for just doing very, very quick updates to the server without having to do a lot of heavy deployment. Super, super lightweight and easy to use. And then the Microsoft, Facebook, of course, there's others. The identity providers built in to the service, as well as the SDKs, have been very valuable. And then, of course, push notifications are needed for the real time syncing. As soon as you add an item to your list, your wife should get it, sub-second later. So that's kind of how that's put together. And then in terms of the SDK, it was just so easy just to add those assemblies, you know, right to the phone app, right to the Windows 8 app, and just kind of be off and running with that.
So you used Azure Mobile Services for that. And that's a really new feature that we have on Azure, and I'm just really glad to see someone using it in the real scenario. and seeing someone like you who really on the bleeding edge and using all these new things. So
oh,
the
yeah.
So the Azure Mobile Services, how did you come learn about it, and why did you decide to use it as opposed to building those things yourself?
Well, you know, it turns out the complexities with syncing, you know, are kind of unwieldy, you know, when it terms in terms of the specific scenario of sharing a shopping list, because it's not really like email where things kind of get just queued endlessly. I mean, it's you have to delete things, add things real time, so you have to be very careful about how you're sharing data across devices, across user accounts. With Azure Mobile Services, there is a number of sort of key demos and things like that that kind of got us up and running pretty rapidly with this. And not only that, but just having sort of everything bundled with it that applies directly to the app we're using, you know, was a no-brainer for us. But yeah, I mean, it's just it seemed like almost like it was made just for the app when it came out, because we got pretty lucky when it was announced late last year. It was perfect timing for us. It just happened to kind of fall right in our slot, so we could be one of the kind of the first, probably the one of the first big users of it. But yeah, it's been a big help.
Very cool.
So that's kind of the list sharing side of the app. Then one of the products that we're working on right now is the discovery engine, where we want to really kind of use a crowdsourcing element to improve people's shopping experience beyond just, you know, creating your own list and looking for, you know, what's on sale. It's also helpful to be able to, you know, find out kind of what cool new products there are near you that maybe you don't even know about. Maybe there's a new craft beer that you haven't heard of that just came on sale at your local store, and you want to try it out. And then the way it works is once these things get added to enough people's lists, then the weight of that item goes higher, kind of like a search engine index, and then we kind of filters to the top, and we can expose that to more people, and then things can kind of go viral that way. So that's kind of the model that we're looking at and leveraging Azure to be able to provide that functionality. Because, you know, it's, I think in today's technology space, you know, it's kind of things are kind of becoming more important in the local space, because, you know, people want something that's really relevant to their specific area. You know, the things you go to a store and shop for at, you know, a small town in Texas is going to be a lot different than what you would go to in Chicago or LA. So, you know, a product like this, you got to spend a lot of time in making sure it's relevant to the local area that it's in. So that's kind of what we're focusing on, and making sure that experience is powerful.
Absolutely, and I think that's a great feature to have, because I could imagine our friends in the central and the east regions probably have different preferences on the things that they buy. I mean, they, for example, they might like more fried food somewhere else in America, but over here in the California part, perhaps we like more veggies and stuff like that. So I think some of that, like you said, the features that you're implementing to help improve the relevance of the recommendations is pretty awesome.
Yeah. No, especially having the list kind of be your preference, like automatically showing you what you want to buy in the future. A lot of these apps, you know, you have to manually select which categories you like, which items you like. You don't have to do that with a shopping list. It's kind of implicit, which is kind of a nice, because we can kind of know what you're looking for without having to overtly bug you about it. So it's kind of a cool scenario there.
That's great. So I know, in addition to Azure Mobile Services, you also use Azure for the kind of the worker role, web role, the other stuff that you've done as well. So I'd love to hear about what else you've done with Azure.
Sure. So the main components we use, well, of course, mobile services. We also have a website that we're in the middle of revamping completely. That's running on Azure Web Roll, and we're using ASP.NET MVC framework to kind of behind the scenes to power that. And then in addition, we have worker roles that are supporting the Windows Phone 7 version of Smart Shopping, which doesn't have the Azure Mobile Services SDK tied into it. So we're kind of ferrying data back and forth via scheduled worker roles to support the legacy app as well as the upcoming Windows Phone 8 app, which is going to be out later this month. So that's kind of the overall. And then we're also using the Azure website actually in it as well for one of the APIs that we use for the mobile app. So we're kind of all over the map with the Azure services.
Very good stuff. So let's switch gear a little bit to kind of the Windows Phone side. We'd love to hear about your experiences so because you started out, like you said, 2 years ago when you built a Windows Phone, an app for Windows Phone 7. So I just want to hear if you recall, what brought you to building an app for Windows Phone 7 at the time?
Well, you know, I just really loved the OS, you know, from day one, and just wanted to be a part of it. I just thought the experience was so much more interesting than other products out there. So I just, you know, wanted to be a part of it. Also having some experience with the tool set was a good incentive as well, being able to kind of quickly get up to speed. And then also, you know, being kind of one of the first movers on that marketplace is also enticing as well. But yeah, just really love the whole platform in general. I think it's pretty unique that a small shop or even an individual developer can build a phone app, a desktop app, you know, middleware, backend services, database, all from really the same IDE and can be, you know, the same common language. And that's such a unique offering. You don't really get that anywhere else from any other ecosystem. So it's to be able to do that and kind of do it quickly. Yeah, that's pretty powerful. So that's just been a huge compelling reason to kind of jump in and build this up, you know, with very little resources, which is really, really exciting.
Absolutely. That's, I think, a very important point, because for smaller companies, especially, right, the time to market is very important. The effort to build these products and features are very important. So, to be able to do them all in a very productive manner, using the same tools, using the same language, using the knowledge, same set of knowledge that you have built working with these tools over the years, it's probably helped to make things easier for you in terms of developing this product.
Well, absolutely, it's made it possible. You know, I mean, I wouldn't have been able to even come close to doing this, you know, in sort of a bootstrap way, without the tools that are in the stack.
Very cool. And you mentioned earlier that you're about to release a new version of Windows Phone app for Windows Phone 8. So would love to hear about anything new or anything interesting that you're adding to the Windows Phone 8 implementation.
Yeah, so we want to get it out before the end of the month. We have a number of features we're really pushing to ship at that time, which is adding in the recipes integration, which the Windows 8 app has, obviously the updated UI. We're adding in some more kind of an extra layer on the app to make it easier to quickly get in and out, add things to your list. And then the key feature too there is for the efficiency is the speech to text integration, especially now that, you know, speech to text is getting so powerful, and with the Windows Phone 8 API that enables that, it's a huge win for us to be able to sit there and say bread, eggs, apples, and then your list gets created automatically, and then not only that, but you can see what may be on sale at your preferred stores around you. Boom, it's just all instantaneous. So that's been one of the big ones. And then we'll have some more live tile functionality there. And then also the other big thing is the Windows is the syncing, and the Azure mobile services will be replacing the syncing technology that was in there today, that, you know, for the legacy app, which was not as robust, you know, with a little bit more error prone. And so I think people will really appreciate the stability of the syncing now, and it's just really rock solid. And so that's one of the big things I think current users will appreciate.
So yes, very awesome, because I think what we heard so far is that Smart Shopping is not just a simple shopping list app. It's not just a simple list. In a very short amount of time, you've added a lot of features. You have a recommendation engine in the works. There's real-time syncing across devices. And then also we're adding the killer feature, which I think is the kind of the voice recognition speech-to-text part, because that totally makes sense. It's very counterintuitive when we're walking around in supermarkets, have to look down and then type things, where we're trying to figure out how to interact with the UI, but now we can just talk to it. So that's, I think that's a very killer feature. And the Smart Shopping tool really is, it's not just a simple list app anymore. It's still a shopping list, but it's gotten so rich and so many features. I think it's like a very sophisticated solution now.
Yeah, and especially without even having to open the app, you know, just doing just be able to hit the Windows key and just say your list without even going into it. Another thing is, which is cool, I forgot to mention, is that it remembers what specific notes or quantities, prices, even you know, or and the aisle name that is associated with those things. So if you've added those things before, and then you're saying them in, it'll automatically apply what aisle it's in, what's, you know, what the price is, or, you know, what quantity or brand you usually get. Automatically just boom, and then you don't have to worry about going in and editing things. It automatically just work. So it'll be really exciting.
So I'm starting to get it, because this is why it's called Smart Shopping, right? It's smart. That's shopping list.
Right. We're trying to be true to the name, you know. At the first release, it was probably did not live up to its own title, but yeah, over time we have really strived to live true to its name and provide a really, really smart set of tools for people, and also merchants. You know, we're kind of slowly bringing in merchants into this, you know, store, so that they can interface with their own app to be able to, you know, provide consumers directly with their products, and so that's another whole component. And so we're, you know, even maybe you have to change the name to like Genius Shopping at some point, if you know, depending on how far we can go.
Yeah, absolutely. And just mentioned that's a great extension of your platform as well, is that the back end integration to all of the businesses and retailers in the market, that you will be able to provide more intelligent ways to for them to engage with their customers too. And it's beyond just advertisements or coupons, but now that you actually can understand and link basically the two parties up in a very intelligent way. And I would assume it's actually, so I think right now you're much more in the grocery shopping space, right? But I think the same concept can be applied to all kinds of retail scenarios.
Absolutely, yeah. Retail is a big goal for us. And so, but on the other hand, you know, we, starting off with the grocery space, I think is meaningful, because it's really about creating a list, which I think is universal. And so we want to kind of start with that base metaphor, which I think is the right one, and then kind of slowly bring in the other pieces to this. You know, I mean, obviously this problem is being tackled by a ton of different companies, but I think that approach is kind of the natural or organic way to grow it. And hopefully we can, you know, keep pushing and make it as broad based as we believe it can be.
Very cool. Awesome. So the question that I guess is, we've been working on smart shopping for a while, and really thank you for all your support and working with us. And of course, we want to be here to ensure that you're successful using Microsoft Platform and to implement your product and services. Just want to hear a few thoughts on sort of how has your experiences so far working with Microsoft?
It's been great. You know, been super helpful. I've, you know, been working with, you know, the product, the product side, and you've been a ton of help for me. And in fact, I think you have a good little bit of credit for making the Windows 8 app as, you know, what it was. So I thank you for that as well. And yeah, just finding, you know, potential marketing opportunities. It's just been really, really big help.
Thank you. You're too generous. I heard that sort of, would you be able to share, I think, some of the results so far, like any numbers in terms of downloads and any trends that you observed since you have published the Windows 8 app?
Yeah, I mean, the Windows 8 app was a huge boost to user traction for us. We've probably doubled our user base from the Windows Phone side, and that's only given about a 4 to 5 month time span versus the 2 years it's been on Windows Phone. Although the Windows Phone side has been picking up quite a bit lately, we've noticed the user base has been growing there pretty quickly. So yeah, it's been a huge boost to downloads and usage.
That's great. And I think much of that growth, you haven't spent a lot of effort on promoting or advertising the solution itself, right? So a lot of it is just organic or just comments that people have about the app and the services. And I think the Windows Store has been promoting the Windows 8 app a little bit, but beyond that, there's not much promotion around.
Oh yeah, absolutely not. Not a dollar has been spent on it. And that's probably probably not, you know, the wisest approach, you know, for most startups. But you know, it's been kind of an organic process. I mean, it's been, I think, based on the quality of the product. Even though there's still a lot of work to do, which we're focused on, you know, just today, it's just been all about really putting a lot of love and care into providing just a killer user experience for people. And I think people have appreciated that. And that's what's actually driven it, you know, the downloads that we've got to date. So because we haven't really done much with social media whatsoever, so it's just been strictly the word of mouth.
Very cool. So it was great to hear from you, and then thank you so much for sharing all this information for us. And we'd love to hear and see how smart shopping continues to grow, hearing all of your plans about it, and we'll really look forward to the Windows Phone 8 app launching shortly, and see all this new feature being added, and hopefully the smart shopping service will grow in adoption and getting more customers. And we'll continue to work with you to help you be successful. So I just want to, first of all, thank you so much for your support and partnership so far, and I look forward to working with you continuously.
Same to you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on, and look forward to building some great things.
Well, so that's all the time we have today. Thank you for everybody for watching the Dev Radio Show, and stay tuned for the next episode.